All that I meant is that it's not so terrible if I take a picture of myself with my grandson and I go on a trip somewhere. As long as it's not meant for, and then you have a whole set of discussions about what happens when you're trying to create an graven image which is not for religious purposes. But for religious purposes, it's hard to see that there's going to be any distinction between Bolet or Turkeo.
I happen to have written a kuntus on this subject, I can show it to you, about the making of images, Bolet and Turkeo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's see what we have. And this poses what I think is certainly the class of Shilas that I'm getting now. These are all of them that I've ever gotten in my life. These are certainly the most difficult. Unsoluble. Okay. So, for example, if we take a look in this handout, I don't know what the status of this kind of stuff is. There's an article by an R.A.A. Gottfried, Ph.D. Do you know who that is? At any rate, this isn't the official publication of today's media. And let's take a look at the end of that.
They think he's going to see.
This comes out of 770, I believe. So I think it's safe to say that on, but let's just see what it says. Okay? So, at the end, here's page 63. I didn't bother the number of my pages. Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Moshiach, Hu Yesheinu, Yigaleinu, Sheinis, Bekaro, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, that's it.
What
page is
that?
63.
Beit Mashiach, that's from 5, 7, 5, 6.
You're past it.
Yeah, it goes back to us.
You're past it.
Yeah, I heard of that one. I didn't see that one, though, with my own eyes.
There it is.
There he is.
Okay. If we go to the very beginning of this article of the Beit Mashiach, what do we see? On the second paragraph. So, being stuck with Moshe Rabbeinu means being stuck with the Rebbe, which means being stuck with the absolute truth of all their statements, including their statements about what is Rebbe. For example, that Rebbe is the essence of being a God enclosed in a body. What?
Who said that?
I'm reading. I'm hearing you.
Oh, okay, no, I got it. Just haven't had time to listen.
Okay. That a Rebbe by nature is omniscient and omnipotent. That all material and spiritual blessings flow from the Rebbe. Hmm? All right. Let's turn to the Israeli version of some of this. On something called She'elot u'tshuvot b'inyanei Mashiach u'geula, put out from Spot, I guess. Yes. You know who publishes these things?
Not specifically, but that's my material.
It's your material.
All
right.
Disguise myself as a messiness to get this stuff, so maybe okay. God will punish me. But that's it. I don't know, but there's a lot of mishugoyim going with Spas, you know.
Let's just see what
it's a very mystical point.
Let's just see this. On his page 28.
Okay. The chief rabbi of Spas, by the way, is Levi Bistritsky, the son of Label, if you remember him from the Lower East Side, the chief judge.
Mm-hmm.
Levi was elected the Ashkenazi chief rabbi at the Spot. So you have Lubavitch in control of the chief rabbi at the Spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's read what this says. Yetera Mizu, on his page 28. Kepisha Musbar and Kamot Rabim, Harebi Ubal Habayit, Al Kol Mashakoro, Mobi Al Kol Mashakoreba Ula. The Rebbe is the master of everything that happens to him and all that goes on in the world. Beli haskamato lo yuchal lehisfashkeish shuma ova. Nothing can happen without his agreement. Ve'im ya'alev v'rotzono yachol hu lef'ol v'asot kol davar. And if he so desires, he can do anything. Umi lo mar lo mata'aseh. Who's to tell him what to do or not to do?
That's the quotation that is from the doctor about usually how to refer to that.
Right. Ve'im kein, ha'reisher v'rotzono yachol hu v'chol regel v'chol shegam ha'chushim ha'gashmiyim yifalu ba'okan ha'mukar lono. At any time, he can do things in such a way that he will be visible to us, and that his physical senses will be apparent in a normal way. Umasha eino sekein zel akvarat v'tnesha eino olet v'rotzeh lachol. The reason that he doesn't do so is because... And if you look a little...
I'm sorry, what are you bringing?
What? He can assume. He can assume physical form at any moment that he wants.
Is specifically talking to some spirit that happens to be dead or not?
This is talking about Mendel Schneerson.
But I mean, now or
now?
Now.
Okay.
And this is published after his supposed death.
Okay, let's take a look at the other section that I've marked on this same page. V'kacha mamash hu b'nei Yisrael. It's exactly the same b'nei Yisrael. Dakka mishum sheharebi hu adam gashmi, k'mo she'ar adam ha'am, hu b'yachad im zed bo shoreh HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chol tofo k'mo she'u. Nevertheless, within him is incarnated God with all of his strength as he is, Mepnei etzem bitulo l'Hashem l'gamri ad shezeh hofek liyot kol mitziyoto mamash. God is converted entirely into the Rebbe. L'tichach,
they said the other way around.
It is symmetric, but that's not what it said.
That's a little bit.
They're trying to get
L'tichach davka al yado yichola hachayut hayut ha'elokut l'tavesh v'la'ir v'la'chayot et olam hazeh ha'gashah. It's only by the incarnation of God into the Rebbe that the living God can become incarnated, I guess that's the best way of saying it, Rabesh, and clothe himself, and to shine, and to vitalize this physical world.
I have a problem for you, sir. I have no understanding this world very much. What percentage, or whatever you think it is, of people who are the Baba Shah didn't believe this stuff? Is this widespread, or is this just some particular
I have no hard statistics on this, but the situation is getting worse. That is, I think a rough statistics that I've heard from people connected to the movement is that 90% believe that the Rebbe is the Messiah and that he will return from the dead to a completed mission. Of that 30%, how many believe this stuff, which means that not only is he the Messiah, but actually he's God incarnate?
Of that 90% believe it, and of that 90%, you're what?
I'm saying, how many of that 90%, maybe a third, I don't know.
Third what?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. We haven't passed out a questionnaire on this subject.
How do we know the 90%?
I know all I have is anecdotal information.
But the Jews generally, I mean, is this different from the general belief in Theos HaMasim and to say that 90% believe the Rebbe is going to come back? So, I mean,
that he is the Messiah and is going to return back as the Messiah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
But the belief that he's going to come back from the dead isn't...
That in and of itself is, but the notion a Mashiach will die in the middle of his mission and return is completely foreign to Judaism.
Agreed.
Though it has been heard of.
It's been heard of in other religions. But it's completely foreign to Judaism. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and My impression is that this is more or less official. That part of it is a commonly shared belief. That is, it may not have been that way 2 or 3 years ago, but what has happened, of course, is that the more extreme beliefs have become radicalized. Somehow or other, Mendel Schneerson has been promoted from being the Mashiach to God. So, I mean, there's a position available, and if you here are interested in seeking it out. But, and how many have accepted this latest shift in the dogma, which is, what, about a year and a half old? You're the one that's originated much of this material.
Well, I mean, you know, the Mashiach stuff is started before.
The Mashiach stuff, there's reason to believe, was his instigation.
That's what was his, what the Rebbe's instigation?
Yeah, I think that there's evidence for that. I'm not a scholar on that. The scholarly book on that material will soon be come out by Professor Friedman, who has
written
it.
He was writing a book on the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's irrelevant, more or less. It's basically irrelevant whether, indeed, this was part and parcel of the movement from the beginning, from the middle, or after the demise. The fact of the matter is that as far as I can tell, the messianic beliefs are held by a substantial majority of all adherents.
And even after he passed away?
Yeah, especially.
Okay. But I mean, presumably while he was alive, he could be a difference in opinion.
There's two things that have to be said here. That while he was alive, I think a lot of them did believe he was Mashiach, based on things the Rebbe himself said. I once asked the daughter of a rabbi of French Hill, who's a friend of Chabad, who's now living in French Hill, and I asked the daughter of this rabbi whether the Rebbe was Mashiach. And the answer was, the Rebbe's Mashiach, but we're not supposed to say so. That then the question is, you see, what's interesting about this piece about from Tzfat is that they insist that he has a physical body. And the reason for this is that that they used to insist that the Moshiach has to have a physical body. Otherwise, according to the Rambam, see, the Rambam is implicated in this. The Rambam says the Moshiach has to be an ordinary human being, right? So to be the Mashiach now, he has to still be an ordinary human being, even though he's has an only spiritual existence. So they come up with a doctrine that took the Christians 5 centuries to achieve something like a glorified body concept. It's actually amazing, because you can see.
But they could crib notes.
What?
But they could crib notes from the
other. It's not what they did, but they've come up with stuff that the Christians took. You know, it's like a Yiddish cup. It took the Christians 5, 6, 7 centuries to come up with these doctrines.
Yeah, but they could crib. They certainly know this possibility.
Are there any senior philosophers in the latter school when you try to justify the Christian? I hold to that different from Christianity.
I think they think
the wrong God.
Well, that's true.
That's a good answer.
No, but more than that, they claim another more serious argument, they still keep Shabbos.
So do the Christians for many years. So Jewish Christians, right. The Ebionites kept all of the mitzvot, except for the one of Avodah Zarah, for centuries. And it's probably safe to say that the early Jewish Christians didn't believe in Avodah Zarah either, that they simply believed in the fact in the Messianism.
Right.
So, okay, let's take a look also at page, whatever it is, 1, 2, 3, 4 pages from the beginning. Mufurash, v'alachem mutar l'shaharot l'tzadik. It is therefore permissible to bow down to a tzadik. I mean, a tzadik in this terminology means a rebbe, of course. ומפורש בספרי חסידות בכמה וכמה מקומות שהצדיק מתדבק בקדוש ברוך הוא בדיבוק עצמי. There is this union mystical of the Rebbe with God. והיינו שאין זה כטעות הטועים שעניין הדבקות הוא רק בהרגשתו של הצדיק. It's not just a psychological state of mind of the tzaddik, ela shebiemet kenu shehat tzaddik mitzdabek ho'al v'chadosh bo. That in reality, he unites with God. Ad shehu domeh l'chadosh bo, until he actually becomes similar to God, v'naaseh chad mamashita, and becomes united entirely with God. V'lachein mutar l'shtachavot l'tzaddik. And therefore, it's permissible to bow down to the tzaddik. V'chadosh bo hu mitzad mitzayim et atzmo, God limits himself, shoreh etzel ha-tzaddik, he is... dwells within the tzaddik, umetlabesh po b'shem havaya me'ir uval tanah. So therefore, what they do with lo tishtachaveh lahem v'lo ta'avdeim isn't clear, but you have a definite ruling. This is also from Tzvat. All of this came through you,
right,
from Professor Berger.
That's true. I obtained the material, but I didn't hire a detective here who actually, this is Sichat Agula, is published by a Rabbi Zimroni Chick, who before the Rebbe died,
get in the chair, please, all the way at the end.
Mm-hmm. Published, this is Zimroni Chick, he's a, he's not what they call a Gavonra, but a Gavonra, you know, mm-hmm. Before the Rebbe died, was publishing a very inflammatory newsletter about the Mashiach, because the Rebbe said, when the Mashiach comes, you put it in the paper, so he signed the paper about how, you know, how the Mashiach is here, etc., etc. Then when the Rebbe died, he started putting out this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So, who he represents, I'm not the first to say.
We say Mishtate Yitzi Raso, we're supposed to participate in God's earth. But does that have any relevance to this? I mean, maybe it's a precursor to this.
Well, anything can be a precursor to anything else. But what's clear here is that there's a clear statement that one should bow down to a tzaddik, especially this particular tzaddik, as because he represents God incarnate. It says that he's omniscient. It says that he's omnipotent. And hu Eloheinu. I mean, I don't know how more explicit one can get, what further requirements there are to call something about a zah.
He says shatzadik mistavek the poel
ha'kadosh baruch hu. The poel, in reality, it's not just the psychological state of the mystical state of the mind. It's that the Rebbe has united in reality with God.
So what's
Poel
mean
here? In reality.
Oh, reality.
Okay.
Their doctrine is that a bodhisattva is, if you say that the Rebbe is an independent power outside of God.
But the Rebbe is God.
The Rebbe is indistinguishable from God.
Yeah.
We heard this before also, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, so technically, I guess this is Shita.
No.
That's not correct.
No. This is Avodah Zarah, clear and simple, with no redeeming features whatsoever.
Right. And they really believe it.
Who's they? I assume that the people that wrote this article believe what they wrote. I mean, to write something like this and not to believe it is astounding. So we will have to assume. So we're now... And of course,
but there's no answer from the headquarters in New York. I mean, to dispute this, or
to the contrary, headquarters in New York means Beis Mashiach, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
that's 770.
That has to be really. You have to be careful here. I mean,
the Mashiach is still in control of 770.
But now, to say the Chorazor, yeah, yes.
And where did you take that terrible? Yeah, you have it. Let's
probably hasn't been so.
Yeah. Look, this is not a laughing matter, because one is dealing here with an active group of people whom we've always regarded as good Jews and activist Jews who have within the last 2 or 3 years, a substantial chunk of the leadership taken a turn to what is clearly idolatry. And you will see in the packet that I gave out some long letters from Dr. Berger, who has tried to publish various warnings at various stages in the development of this, including, if you've seen, his article in Haaretz on January 11th, in which he's called attention to this. And the problem that we're facing now is, certainly for me, the hardest problem is how to deal with it. I mean, Jonathan was out in California, where a substantial number of the Shoftim are Lubavitch. Have they lost their Keskes Kashrus? I got a similar question from France. Someone wrote me from France that, you know, most of the Shita here is in the hands of the Lubavitch. Am I allowed to eat meat? Now, of course, I'm not a rabbi in Paris, so I can duck the question temporarily by referring them to the local rabbin, and even though the person that asked me the shaila says that he feels that the local rabbanim are nogim b'davaro. Okay, I don't have to be kosher on the rabbanim in Paris. But sooner or later, we're going to have to answer this problem, which is certainly the most serious problem of this time that we face in the Shabbat school. I mean, all of the wars between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim are nothing in comparison to the problem that we're facing today. Now,
I think the
Misnagdim
asked their
Shkita. Each one asked
each other's. Sure, right. So, that they answer your Shkita.
But the problem is that, you know, one is dealing with a very activist organization which has been part and parcel of the Orthodox Jewish community for the last 50 or 60 years, and certainly has been amongst the most successful group within, and has done a huge amount of good in many communities throughout the world. And now, at the headquarters, one is faced with simple outright Orthodox. And,
I see, I'm sorry, in the many times in the New York Times, they carry like full-page ads about the chair and so forth, but they never get into this idea that it is a incarnation of this.
Oh God, he's been
that really scares you, but this Mashiach idea, well, everybody hopes the Mashiach is going to be here, he's coming, and so forth, so on, so if they want to say that temporarily or something, because he did die and there's no real leadership anymore. They're hoping for something.
Yeah, but I think that this is a natural psychological outgrowth of that. Like if you drive down Chestnut Hill Avenue and see a big sign with a picture with Shalita written underneath.
Shalita
is written.
Maybe he did it before.
There was an ad in the Times.
No,
also.
It's in this side.
Did you see the New York Times ad that said that Gimel Tammuz is not the Rebbe's yahrzeit? That costs a lot of money.
One might reckon that all of those things are mishigas. One might put them all in the category of simple mishigas. But this is not mishigas. This is Avodah Zarah. This has reached, you know, a proportion in which it's hard to know how to come to grips with it. As I say, Dr. Berger wrote a long article, it's written, an English version of it is available, and a response to Berger's article, point by point, was published in one of the most recent issues of Beis Mashiach by someone who writes under a pseudonym of Aleph Abraham. And, I tremble even to just pick up what it says. I mean, basically, for example, it says, the phrase "Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Abdo," that I mean, the argument that he wants to make that is that it's perfectly reasonable to believe in the Rebbe as God, because after all, the Rebbe is the same as Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says "Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Abdo" that they believe in right.
Okay. Now the pasuk itself says "Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Abdo." It doesn't say they worship.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we take a look at the Mepharshim on the Pasuk, it's very clear. And, Vayaminu Bashem Ulu Moshe Abdo, Unkulu says,
V'heminu b'memorad Hashem u'v'neviyut Moshe Avdei. They believed in the word of God and in the prophecy of Moses. V'yaminu b'Hashem ibn Erites shehu emet. They believed that God is true. V'heminu b'Moshe shehu Avdo. And they believed in Moses that he is their servant. V'lo ya'aseh rak ma'she yitzavem. Simple, straightforward. The Mechilta says that that people who believe in God must believe in Moses, but of course the Mechilta means that they believe in him as being a true prophet, not that they believe in him as God. The notion that this passage could have that opposite meaning is not novel. You find a very strong attack by the Radvaz on some Darshan who only made the mild claim that some of the Jews at the time of the Exodus believed that Moses was God. Ul'inyan ha-doresh asher doras ve'echlit sakin machshavto ve'hemik zemomo al'inyan avon ha-egel ve'hipes al Yisrael dvarim asher lo ken ve'hemis al dor ha-midbar asher lo ala al-ibam ve'hu yitarach katsak ma'at ha-doresh ze azal ro'ah ra' alai ha-ma'aseh. Who wanted to claim that what part of the sin of the children of Israel was that they believed that Moses was God. And here you have the author of the article basically saying that part of Jewish belief is to believe that Moses is God. V'ani rotze l'tnaheg imo kasher ani mitnaheg im hakara'im hakotrim b'divrei razal ha'avir v'tzarich ani l'avir ra'ya l'vatel b'vayhem min hakatuv mamash alker. I have to refute their arguments by citation of chapter and verse, and then he goes ahead and does it. And then when he mentions the fact that the Ramban, in discussing the fate of the Egel, rejects the idea that the Jews believe in Moses as God. Let me read to you what the Ramban has to say on the leader. On the fate of the Egel.
But you know, a famous Tzitzis Rebbe said, almost predicting what happened, that Moshe was like a Rebbe, but when Hasidim see the Rebbe die and they don't appoint a new Rebbe right away, this could right away lead to a Motazot. This was said by one of the famous Tzitzis Rebbe.
They didn't believe that Moses is God. That he performed all of these miracles under his own power. Our leader is gone. We will make a substitute for Moshe. In other words, the chet of the egel, according to the Ramban, is that they simply built a pictorial substitute for Moshe. That was the chet of the egel.
It goes on to say that they did worship it.
Yeah, but the original chet...
3,000 Jews also worshiped the egel.
Right. So that's what we have here. You have a big picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's sort of a substitute for the actual Rebbe, who's going to provide the leadership for the community after he demise, and then a fraction of these people have actually turned to worship the Rebbe as a result. The idea, I mean, the statement, for example, that you can call a
a Rebbe, a human God. This article defends the notion that you can call a human God, and he cites a Yerushalmi Bikurim, and of course he only cites the end of the Yerushalmi Bikurim. The Yerushalmi Bikurim says, "V'Hashem Be'Echad Chadsho, Harav Yitzchak Ben Elazar V'Knishta Midrata D'Kisma," that God in His holy temple is Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Eliezer in his base medrash in Kisra. And of course, that's just an outrageous quote. The whole passage in the Yerushalmi deals with the appointment of judges by bribery or for financial gain, and says that those judges who were appointed by out of money have the status of idol, quoting, playing with the Pasuk in Habakkuk. So let's read the whole passage in here. Maho il pesel ki psalo yotzro masecha umore sheker ki batak yotze yotzro alav lasote vilim ilmim hoi omer la eitz hakitza uri la even dumam hu yore hinei hu tafus zahav hakesef v'chol ruach ein v'kirmo v'ashem v'hichal katsho hasmi panav kalah. So since the passage is a beautiful, beautiful phrase, and it says that, you know, the false judgment being given by these idols, and therefore the Yerushalmi says that someone who appoints false judges, that is, a judge who is appointed on the basis of financial gain, is like setting up a false idol. And therefore, if you want to appoint a true judge, the analog will be so-and-so in his base medrash, who's like Hashem Be'echal Kacho. To draw from there a notion that one can use the word God to refer to a man is just absolutely, absolutely outrageous.
There's no place where we find the Rebbe with this, his name will be followed by Isaiah Hatzadik Lebracha.
No. That I don't know, no place. The
that doesn't record, happen, though.
No.
When they talk about his father, do they say?
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes,
his
father-in-law.
His father-in-law, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah.
So if I walked into 770 and I talked about the Rebbe's Etzal, and I was referring to this most recent one, would I be assaulted? No, I'm not a Snaggy. I'm a Chassid.
Would I be assaulted
in any sort of way?
Yeah, you'd be in trouble.
You have a daughter?
Yes.
She wouldn't get a shit
of
that's the only problem. Where was that Habakkuk?
No, but seriously, so his father-in-law will say that something.
Yeah,
generally.
I heard someone give a speech about a Rabbi Kotler Zichron and Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneur's Mishli.
Really?
I don't believe the first part of the sentence, because they hate Rabbi Kotler, which was mutual.
Right, okay. For example.
You ready?
For example,
he didn't like his father. He didn't like
what
the father wanted.
I like all of the
same thing.
All right, are you allowed to have a picture of the tzaddik at the time of prayer? After all, I'm reading from this piece of garbage. In other words, it says, "Lo tasel chapesa l'chol tmina." But after all, you have a picture of the Rebbe in the shul. In some shuls on the back wall, and some shuls, according to Dr. Berger, on the Mizrach wall. Are you allowed to look at the picture in order to pray at the time of prayer? It seems very clear from the Asaras Ezevos that this is completely prohibited. They cite, B'sheilot u'tshuvot ha-radvaz, v'zeh atam atzmo b'tfilah, ki behedbeit ha-adam, some dots, l'rabo, some dots, tit'orer nafsho el ha-kavanah ha-shlema. From this, they deduce that the Radvaz maintained that if someone has a picture of his Rebbe in front of him when he prays, this aids, is an aid to prayer and is permissible. Now, what in fact is this Tshuva of the Radvaz? The Tshuva of the Radvaz deals with a problem which is unfortunately not too unfamiliar. Namely, there's some people that are unhappy with the shul they're davening in, and they want to get, they want to form breakaway minyan. This is not an unheard of event in Jewish history. And the question is, what rights do a minority of members, especially the ones at, who come from a different community, which was frequently the case with the refugees from Spain or their children or their grandchildren in Egypt at the time. Okay, and this is what he says. Person does is not always able to study from any at any individual. Mikan hetiru sheyelech adam lemakom echad lomot Torah, apalpi sheaviv omer lo shelo yelech. Man can disobey parental authority in deciding which college he wants to go to. Va'oler mitzvot aviv shelo min hakol adam zochel lomot Torah. V'zeh hatam ba'atzmo v'tfilah. And this very same rule saying that one can't always learn from any teacher applies prayer as well. Ki behed beit ha'adam el ohavav, that's the operative phrase. O l'korav, o l'rabo, o l'misha da'ato noche, tit'orir nafsho el ha'kavana ha'shlema, v'nitosecho lav ruach mimavom, v'ze davar sha'sechel mover lav, v'ahepehe. Now, if you remove everything here is a total seal.
Now, there's some midrashim that, for example, minayin shekarol according to Baruch Hu Yaakov Eil. I mean, that's a little, but this is a total. This is he completely took three words from a very long sentence.
Right. Put
it, right. It means you can worship your friends too. I mean,
picture.
It's talking about if you're davening with a whole group of people that you're friendly with, then you'll daven better. You'll have more kavanah. I mean, the whole thing is just completely outrageous from beginning to end.
My God, if that's the only thing they could find.
No! I mean, okay, so what? You're talking, Vayikalo Yaakov Vivole, Ela Vayikalo Yaakov El, Umikaro El, Elohe Yisrael. It's a strange Gemara in Megillah. All right? So first of all, who says that the word El is Kodesh? Who says that it's Kodesh?
Is it, by the way, to the Messiah?
The whole parish of the Gemara in the Pasuk is ridiculous, if you should excuse the expression. The simple meaning is what it says, that Yaakov called this Mizbeach in the name of El Elohe Yisrael. But since it said, Vayikra lo El Elohe Yisrael, and it's a slightly difficult construction, the Gemara says it means that Jacob was called El by the Almighty. But it also says, does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's explicit in the Torah, you don't need any midrash for that. Does that mean that God had made Moses into a god? The simplest way of learning this, Megillah, and that's the way, for example, that that Rabbi Shabel translates it in his translation of the Ramban, is that God called Jacob mighty. There's no... This gives you an excuse to violate. I mean, the whole situation is just absolutely ridiculous, where you try to overturn the fundamental principles of Judaism on the basis of some of the three or four obscure texts. I could probably prove any point whatsoever by making a few citations from the Gemara somewhere. I could prove that the sky is black or that the sun is green. I mean, it's just, you know, the notion that the most fundamental assumptions of Judaism can be overturned on the basis of a citation of a text is another example of the horrors with which we live today. I mean, there's just complete loss of any kind of balance. No intrinsic values. It's just anything can be completely wiped out by a citation.
What about a picture of a Rebbe or like a Spider-Man seven store?
Believe me, I would regard that as problematic. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a bizarre. But if you had a picture of Jesus in there, then it definitely would be a bizarre. So the difference is the difference between Jesus and Rabbi who's the guy that was flying around in the airplane?
Kaduri.
Rabbi Kaduri. You missed that?
I didn't miss it, but I don't know how to
It was a helicopter.
That's a story.
If you had said helicopter, I wouldn't know.
That's what it said. It's what saved Israel from attack by the Iraqis.
What? The story? I don't know. I never heard that.
Okay. All right. So this is under the category of Mishigas bordering on Darkei Hamoed. Right. I mean, if one has to go through all of the history of superstitions that the rabbi is allowed or disallowed because of the pressures of the community, one would feel a little unhappy and perhaps sick. But there's a difference between having a picture of someone who is not worshipped as a god and having a picture of someone who is worshipped as a god.
That's a big leap from Narish Titan to Avodah Zarah. That's an awfully big leap.
Yes.
So
close,
or you could look at this and you could say, why are we even considering this Narish Titan? Normally we study serious stuff here. But with all due respect, I don't mean that in any case. But obviously for some reason this has jumped that gap from being Narish Titan to being something that,
being Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
And that leaves me with a very, very desperately difficult halachic problem, namely, or anyone who has to deal with this problem, how to deal with these current events.
So are they asking Shilas about the wine that comes out of Lubavitch also?
So far I've got Shilas on the Shkita. I'm sure that I will get Shilas on the wine.
We studied that.
Yes, right. I mean, I never thought in my life, I knew that on occasion I may have to deal with problems of Nevela, but to have to deal with problems of Chenesim is something which never occurred to me. Okay, furthermore, let's take one further point. The bowing down, okay? You had simply here a statement that you're allowed to bow down to the tzaddik. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin says exactly the opposite. That a person is allowed to bow down to a man, provided that man is not demanding your bowing down to him as an object of worship, like was in the case of Haman. Make things a little timely. And the Ran, in discussing the Gemara, I'll just read to you what he has to say, is Yachol afilu ne'avad kahaman. You think that a person is allowed to bow down even to a human who is worshipped like Haman? Heush shahishtachava'a hutwala adam shekamotcha lishtachavot lefanov ulechavdo. If bowing is like in Japan, the normal way in which one simply
respect,
a sign of respect to another individual who is not an object of worship, then it's permissible. If this bowing down is a religious act, even if you don't make this individual into an actual god, asurahi. We learn from here, shehakdoshim shel hakutim, that when it comes to the saints of the Christians, v'chein hamashugah shel hayishma'elim, or Mohammed.
He's very muscular on that, and he's the only one of Islam that way.
Ap al pi she'ein to'in achreihem la'asotam elohut, even though they don't make the mistake of believing that these people are actual godheads, since bowing down to them is part of a religious act, even though there is not necessary belief that these objects in and of themselves are gods, then Avodah Zarah yesh lahem l'chol davar asur shel Avodah Zarah. Shelo v'hidur levad hem she'im mishtachadim lefeim she'ein hidur lemeitim. You cannot show respect by bowing down to a dead person.
So it's merely an act.
So therefore, since the Lubavitch Rebbe is alive, it's permissible to bow down to him. But once you, if you believe that he's dead, says the Ram, then bowing down to him is an act of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so this is the Ran and Perush Ran to Sanhedrin, Son of Aleph on the days. All right, so with all of this in mind, I think maybe we should spend a good portion of the semester simply learning through the Rambam of Hilchot Avodah Zarah and see how much progress we can make with it. But any input that any of you have to how to deal with this problem, which to my mind is just completely astounding.
Just one other question that the Sephardim Christians said. Their Rebbe is more than just a Rebbe. He does miracles and things.
I have problems.
They have pictures of that and so forth.
And their businesses and so forth. Right.
So is that closer to what the Lubavitch or is it maybe just a...
They want to drag all of these people down with them to prove that...
I don't know if they say anything about the Sephardim, but I think...
This is worse than recently, you're saying, because... They did a Lubavitch did a shloshim for the Rebbe after he died, and then they did a Yortzeit commemoration, right? The first couple of Yortzeits. So now they don't do Yortzeits. There's no more Yortzeits.
They have a celebration. They talk about the apotheosis.
What's that? Yeah, they always used to have a simcha on the Yortzeit as a
But they would call it a Yortzeit.
I don't know. This thing has turned from